Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, what does the global carbon budget 2016 just tell us at a bit of a glance?
As you already mentioned, you know, the single biggest, most important thing is the fact that, you know, for 3 years in a row, you know, we've seen barely any growth in the fossil fuel CO2 emissions. I mean, this is unprecedented in the sense that it happened at the same time as really strong growth of the global economy. In the past, every time that we've seen a slowdown or even a no growth of CO2 into the atmosphere was because there was a major financial crisis or a major industrial crisis somewhere in the world, as for instance in the case of 2008. So this is undoubtedly, you know, the most important thing. We also saw a continuation of the slowdown of emissions from deforestation. Although 2015 specifically, we saw quite a bit of emissions from fires, particularly in Southeast Asia, because the very hot and dry conditions brought about El Niño.
Now, China and the US, they seem to be the most, they deserve the most accolades for the slowdown in fossil fuel emissions. How does Australia fare in the latest report?
So Australia emissions has actually continued to decline in 2015, which is the last year, the key last year where we have, you know, the data, you know, straight from the government itself. Emissions from land use change, what will be associated to deforestation, they seem to be, you know, going a little up. So this is a little concerning because what we want is an overall trend of continue to going down.
It is rather interesting, the economic ties that you've mentioned in this, because obviously a great deal of the discussion here in Australia has been sort of setting the environmental and the economic needs against one another when it comes to climate change and the reaction to climate change. A lot of people seem to be arguing, well, if we try to be environmentally sustainable and meet some of these agreements, then the economy will suffer for it. You're saying this report sort of doesn't necessarily indicate this.
Well, so every country is a little different, but, you know, the example that we know now very well in the U.S. is that, you know, natural gas through the fracking processes is displacing, is fundamentally producing energy at a cheaper price than coal. So, I mean, coal industry, you know, early this year, you know, it was half of the coal industry was bankruptcy, and partly because not any specific new regulation on them, but mostly because the price of gas was so cheap that, you know, it made no sense to continue, you know, running coal power plants. So that's number one. In the case of China, for instance, of course, there's been a bit of a slowdown of the overall kind of boom on construction and also export. And the interesting thing is that you would expect that overall energy demands have gone down, and they didn't. Actually, they continue to going up. What has been interesting is that they've chosen to slow down the component of energy coming from the combustion of coal, but continue to ramp up at a great speed the energy that comes from renewable energy.
How can the international community turn the no growth sort of figures into an actual decline?
So basically, what these 3 years are doing is for us kind of almost floating on a platter, you know, what, you know, would be the beginning of, you know, what is required, which is global emissions to start declining in absolute terms. So not just no growth, but, you know, an absolute decline. We were expecting this stabilization to happen much later, as a matter of fact, more towards 2030. And in a way, it's extraordinary, these events, you know, mostly economic events in various countries on the world, particularly, of course, U.S. and China being the two top emitters in the world. We need to take advantage of it and see how other countries could, you know, imitate or looking at what are the incentive structure of the economy that has led to these declines.
Just as a final point, Pep, are you quite optimistic about the agreements, the goals that were set in the Paris Agreement actually being reached?
So the goals of the Paris Agreement are exceptionally challenging to be reached, even with this slowdown that we see now. So there's no doubt about that, you know, globally every single country need to range up quite significantly the current commitments for climate mitigation. So what we have is not enough for the Paris Agreement. And these 3 years, that gives us an opportunity to say, all right, let's do it. Let's move into a much more aggressive number of policies, you know, to try to take advantage and really bring emissions down.
Well, Pep, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
You're welcome.
That was Pep Cannadale, Executive Director of the Global Carbon Project, speaking to us about the 2016, the budget there, the Global Carbon Budget, in fact, talking about some of the results, and rather positive. It's nice to get a little bit of an optimistic note on some of these climate change, attempts that are being made to take action on climate change. You are on the Daily